Guys, wait, wait, wait. Today I'm prepared. I have gin tonic with me.
Hey, cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, I see that.
Actually, I wanted to do margaritas, but I wanted to buy the cheapest tequila, but they only had only premium stuff. I was like, fuck that. I'm not doing that.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
Doing good.
Yeah, doing good.
Just released the single. I mean, we started recording and it's going. So we just started.
Excellent.
Yeah, so big stuff's coming up, right? So recently you released a single, Jimmy. Sounds amazing. Finally. And we need to mention that the last interview was 2 years ago in February.
That's 2 years.
I didn't know how long. I assumed it was at least a year, but wow, it's crazy.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, all right, yes, we're working on the new music and probably it will come out end of the year of 2020. And one year, a little bit miscalculation. Yeah. It's normal.
Yeah.
If you had asked me, I would have said it was 1 year.
Yeah.
Like 1 year exactly. Come on.
Yeah. You know, I will change the dates on the my episode from the previous one. Nobody will notice.
I like it. Thank you.
Yeah, so the single came out, right? So I listened to it and it's freaking amazing. I really enjoyed it. I think you unlocked a new sonic space with adding the cello, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's totally, it's an additional level of whatever chakra, aura, whatever. It's like sonic embodiments, you know, surrounding, gives more like color and depth. Totally like awesome. Like I really enjoy it.
Right,
thank you.
Makes you even sadder.
Yeah, good. Just like real life.
Yeah. So yeah. First of all, tell me a little bit what happened in the last year.
Thanks.
Yeah. So let me remind you. You told me that you are working on a new material. You have a new member, and stuff is going on. And what was up?
I mean, from there, we were still, I guess, clearly hadn't finished writing, but we were writing, we had a new member, and we went into writing some more. I think we also realized when we had the new member, we were like, I think we should, the material was different. I think, I remember last time I was saying, like, we think the material might be a little different, a little more embracing the softer side of brain. So with that kind of brought us like looking for someone different to record us. Someone that was maybe less in the metal world and someone who was maybe more in kind of whether that's indie or folk or whatever, just someone who's just like not the kind of expected metal producer. And so like we found Sonny and through him that kind of then changed how we were then writing more and developing more and we were demoing and I kind of made it go a little longer.
I think that's what stretched the process out, was working with Sonny.
Yeah, because he kind of like pushed us to kind of, seems really dumb, but pushed us to work harder at like writing and being more intentional. So it took much longer, but it was a more rewarding experience, I think, for it.
How did you get to know Sonny?
When I was like probably the person who was like adamant of like finding a new non-metal producer, because we're working with Billy Anderson before, who's like utterly incredible, but Billy is very much like, he's like the metal god. He's like the guy you go to, you know, he's done everything from Sleep to High on Fire. I mean, that's who you go to for that kind of sound. And so I was like, okay, we should find someone different. We should see where we could take this new sound. The addition of cello, it felt like it was going to be a different dynamic, a softer thing. So I found him mainly through, I think Emma Ruth Rundle's new record had just come out. And I'd heard that and was like, I wonder who does her stuff. And then found his name came up. And also he'd worked with like Portugal the Man, who were like this like pop band, incredible. And then also like things like Lord Huron, who I really love, is kind of almost more like old country music, like space country, I think is one of the ways they describe it. But you can just see like this thread of his work not having one thing. It was definitely a more varied space from his kind of background. Like the bands he was working with were very different. So we're going to find him through that and then reached out to his management and went from there.
You know, when I read Sony, what he did, and I saw Emma Ruth Randall, and by the way, I wanted to do an interview with her when she came here, right? Mm. And she didn't have time, but they let me still go to the gig, right? And it was my birthday, so it was perfect, right? But when I saw her name, I totally understood, you know, why you would, because this, I immediately realized, okay, this is the sound that she has, because I checked out the latest album. I was like, totally understand why Broom is wanted to work with Sonny. So I was just like, wow, like, world is small in a way.
Yeah, totally. Again, he was just like, she's like this amazing person who was clearly inspired by heavy music, by like heavier bands, and has made projects that is much heavier, but hers isn't. It's also kind of gentle. And so we just knew that because of his background, because of all the different bands he's worked with, it was like, okay, this is someone who's going to bring a totally different way of thinking than the heavy metal way.
I saw on his Instagram profile page that you were recording at this at the same time. All the musicians were present in the studio at the same time, right? Was it like a new approach for you, experience, or did you have it before? You know, because I was like, wow, the studio looks cool, right? It's what's the name? The
Anitello.
What I mean, how did Sony like try to push you harder, like in what way? You said like more with a purpose, right? In what way, like everything should be, there should be an like idea behind, which means what's their idea behind the album, or was it like more an exploration of a new, I don't know, experience, sonic space?
I think there was definitely an exploration of new sonic space. The addition of Jackie sparked an interest, as well as some of the songs we happened to be writing at the time during the pandemic when we were maybe not together. There was already we're going to do something sonically probably different. The biggest push from him was it was actually like pre-production, I felt like.
Yeah, we did a lot of demos back and forth, and then we actually brought him up to our studio for a weekend, and that was something we've never done before. And he was just like, all right, try it this way. Now do it again, but try it this way. So we just did a lot of different approaches to see what we wanted to go with. I think that was one of the bigger changes we made on this record. The last few records, we've always recorded live, more or less. This one, we were more concerned with tempos and like playing to a metronome, that kind of stuff. We really dialed in a lot of things instead of just kind of letting, you know, going with it.
Yeah,
I think those were the main differences for me.
Jordan was playing for the first time in our band, at least, like to a metronome in all the tracks. I can't remember, but because we were trying to really dial it. So the band wasn't necessarily hearing it, but Jordan was. So, you know, the person holding it down was really holding it down. But then you're kind of getting this like more consistency, but then also the feeling was still more live because we're kind of jamming live with him.
In the last few records, we kind of did a lot on the fly in the studio, and this one we didn't have to do that because we knew we had a plan.
Yeah.
So it made things a little easier, I think, in the long run.
You could be more experimental with the sounds because you kind of knew exactly what we were going to go in and do. A lot of it was the pre-work.
It sounds really controversial, right? Because you already, like, everything is pre-planned, but at the same time, it gives you more freedom.
Yeah.
Kind of, which is... So would you now recommend playing to, is it a click track, right? Metronome is a click track.
Yeah.
So would you recommend that like to anybody, or is it just...
I think it depends. Well, I think for all drummers, you need to know how to do it. I think it's important to know how to do it. I don't think it's necessary for every record, but it helps, especially when you're playing, you know, 60 BPM or 54, whatever crazy slow times that we're playing in.
Yeah, one of the songs he could like... What we were saying that that weekend he came up, he was like pushing us to try radically different, like styles and ideas and songs, and most of which we maybe didn't end up doing, but it was just to push and see. And one of them was to like half the tempo of a song, and it was incredibly slow. And I remember hearing it be like, I loved it. It was like, sounded like Mogwai. It was like so uncomfortably slow. I was like, this is amazing. But that's really fucking hard as a drummer to like play. There's like nothing. There's like just space.
And they're not short songs.
No. That's still shorter, but still not short.
So. Yeah, I understand. I mean, I never thought about that. That's like there. Of course, everybody has a sweet spot and the natural feel, right? But if you're going too fast, it's also like challenging. And if you're going too slow, turns out is also really challenging because of the freaking space in between the beats and spacing out to nothingness.
I think one of the coolest things as well, like just thinking about like things we changed or things we did in the studio. Like, so we said, like, we'd figured out so much. We knew exactly what it was going to be in some ways. From a music standpoint, yeah, Benny, Jordan, we knew exactly, thanks, sir. We knew exactly what we were going to do. Like, it was all pre-planned. And actually, it almost forced us to, like, he really challenged Susie, myself, like, vocally and lyrically in the studio more so. It almost, like, forced us to focus less on the instrumentation, which, again, I think Mel producers, people that love Mel, love instruments, love guitars. There's a lot of focus on that. And this almost, because we were like, oh, we know what musically we're going to do. So the question was like, so what lyrically are you thinking on how you're going to challenge it? So, I mean, there's a song that's going to come out, our next single. And like, we changed the chorus in it. And like, Susie spent like almost half a day reworking. And like, we were writing parts to it and in the studio, because basically it was like, oh, it's amazing sounding, but can it be better? And so there was just like some of that was happening, which was kind of cool as well.
But did you have like some kind of the artistic opposition kind of, oh my God, okay, we have to redo everything. I mean, you know, like he's telling you to push it, right? But I guess you already discussed in the beginning how the work would go, you know, because otherwise...
Yeah.
But I still remember like stories like Motorhead were recording their album Ace of Spades. It was the same thing, right? And the producer said, "Okay, can you redo it or and what's the guy? What's the drummer's name? Filthy whatever, right?" He was like, "Nah, I kind of." And then he did it actually, right? And it sounds great.
Huh.
So how did you discuss it like with Sonny in the beginning? Did you know his workflow that he's going to push you, or it just happened naturally? Like, okay, we agreed to work with this dude and that's how it works. So we just accept that.
It was a process. I think every step was a process. I think finding him was a process. I think negotiating what we wanted to do was a process. I think learning about his process was a process. Mm. He's very upfront with how he works and what he wants and that kind of stuff. So it's, you know what you're signing up for when you go to work with him. But he tells you what he likes and what he doesn't like. And, you know, I thought he was really helpful in how it's good. It's great to watch him work.
I think as well, like we are also, one of the things I'll say about all of us, I appreciate the most, that there's not a lot of ego. And so when it comes to someone like that, and actually I appreciate it about him is he had a really strong point of view, but I also didn't feel an ego per se. It was more like he had an opinion, but he was also like, it's your guys' record. If you don't want to do that, by all means, like you don't have to. It's like, this is just my opinion.
He makes a lot of strong arguments.
Yeah.
All right. I was about to ask how like the communication, right? How it's really hard to give like proper feedback without ego and in the same time not feeling the ego. I mean, you have to be like, oh man, I'm learning myself this stuff, right?
Yeah,
right? Like how you present the ideas, like if I'm a producer and basically like, okay, can it be better, but how would you say it in a nice way so that nobody gets offended? That's
sure.
Not easy.
I think that, yeah, it's not easy, but I think that there was something that clicked in me. He was like, he doesn't come across, like he's just very, like because he has a strong point of view, he's just very clear and matter of fact. It's like, I just think this. And you're like, okay. And it was like, there's no right or wrong. It's just like, I just think this.
We're also very open to suggestion.
Yeah.
And, you know, like it doesn't hurt us to just try something. Why not? Let's try it.
That was the best thing about that. Like when we were in that studio for that weekend, like a month or 6-8 weeks before, we were just trying shit. He was like, I don't know, just don't play or go double the speed, go half the speed. And
what
it was like,
what if it's not loud at all?
Yeah. Like, and none of it was about because one was right or wrong. It was just like, I don't know. Let's just see. Like that's what we're here doing.
Yeah, maybe the song is want something else and we're just not finding it.
Yeah. And he was going off of what was cool is that up until that point, we're like emailing demos. He's in LA, we're in the Bay Area. So we're emailing demos that we've recorded and they're like, you know, somewhat like studio practice based demos and like vocals at home and that kind of thing. And so he's hearing that for the first time and he's vibing it and he sends notes and we're redoing demos. And then when he comes up, he's like, he's lived with these songs now for about 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
And so he's then like, fuck it, let's just try XYZ. This is a track. And he's like, because I hear a thing or I feel a thing or we're trying his ideas. And then being in that space in that moment as well, you're like, well, then I'm going to vibe this and be like, yeah, let's just fucking try this.
Yeah.
I remember that again. Have you listened to the record yet?
No. She says she would send me the album before, but...
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
About it like 5 minutes before.
Yeah. We literally were walking down to my. We're in the basement, and John was like, "Is he not the ring?" I was like, "I think so." So, well, anyway, there's a song that again, it's the next single, but there's no bass, there's almost no guitar, and it's just vocal and a plucked cello with drum as the verse. And so in that song, I think that's one of the songs where it really like changed a lot. So we're like, I don't really know what we're going to do in this part. And instead of like adding more instruments, that was one of the things we said, once we added an instrument, it was almost like, it means we can take away instruments and, you know, you can actually be more dynamic because you've got another person. Versus with three of you, you're maximizing your dynamics by trying, you know, by splitting the three. Adding an instrument, it was almost like too easy to all be playing at the same time. And
I think one of the questions we kept bumping into was like, what happens if we do less?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And usually doing less is harder because you can't hide.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't hide behind the noise. You're open. Everybody's open.
And exposed. You know, one of the, definitely this is a more exposed record. Everyone is more exposed. But I think that's one of the tropes of like, not to bag on metal, but like one of the tropes of metal is to add layers of like 1,000 guitars and walls of amps and, you know, like the biggest sound. And that's amazing. But dynamically, it was almost more like, what can we do with like space rather than more noise and instrument? Like, what is it we can do where there's less? And does that actually make it so much more?
So it's more intricate.
For sure.
From what I heard with Jimmy, as I said, it's like it's more deliberate. It's like a painting, right? So creating space with it really feels like you're making a sonic landscape, you know? Mm-hmm. Like when I heard the first time like the term sonic landscape, I was like, okay, whatever. But when, especially when you have a good audio system, which I got like some time ago, I was like, okay, I get it, right? Like it's really like a painting.
Yeah.
But actually, like the song that you were talking about, because I have the list of songs is public, so we know. So which song were you mentioning before? Like
it's new sad of you.
Okay, so it's going to be a new single that's coming out sometime later, like in a month or something.
So that one's coming up, I think, pretty soon. Actually, I don't know. I'm also pretty good at this, but
hey, it's standard procedure. Like a month between the singles, and then a couple of singles before the album. And the album comes out in when?
May.
April, May. Yeah.
Yeah, early May. Yeah. So yeah, New Sad to You is the song that, again, I think that Jimmy was a being the first single was like a good. It felt like a good representation of this album. This collection of songs, but you'll tell from, you know, the rest of the songs that some will go bigger and louder and heavier and some will most definitely not. It's the Jimmy's got a little bit of all of the arcs and now we're gonna go off on tangents.
It was a good I mean, I don't know how the other songs sound like, but from what it's a good introduction from this, just a single of the new sounds, new direction. It's basically new you. I think it's great. I mean, from what I heard from other people who are checked it out, also everybody loves it. So super psyched. Everybody's super psyched about the album. Did Susie change like thematically, lyrically, something in a different way for this album?
I don't think so.
Have you noticed anything?
Well, there's definitely some pandemic
vibes,
as in there's definitely she won't mind me saying this, but there's some songs that have got like some like I'm bored at home with my partner and he's pissing me off kind of music. Because I think everyone who was
I interviewed recently Heavy Tempo, who's also on the label. I interviewed recently Howling Giant, Electric Citizen. everybody's releasing new albums in because everybody had a new start because of the pandemic. Everybody in sync, but everybody reacting to the pandemic and the world situation in completely different ways. I would think some people go completely not doing what they were doing before. Somebody is like expressing more anger. Somebody is want to do happy stuff. But yeah, it's actually in the history books, it's going to be like a period when everything changed for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I think thematically, Susie's never written. No, I think the Susie is kind of pretty sporadic. She's definitely someone who writes whatever she's feeling that day, that moment. I wouldn't say that there's like a specific theme in that way, other than it seems like she's like, I've got this idea. She writes poems. She has a book of poems. And they tend to be influenced by life more than like, I guess, some kind of make-believe world, which again, I know that a lot of people do, and that's totally fine. But hers is like personal experiences or relationships and people and that kind of thing, which I appreciate about it. I think the pandemic probably amplified like relationships and people more so. There's a couple that, what's the How Rude? Like that song on the record, and you haven't heard it, but it's whatever. I think it's the last song on the first side, but that one's about like, you know, California was burning down at the time. And so that's like a Mother Earth pissed at us kind of song. And there's some songs about being bored of your partner. There's a song about, I think Jimmy's to do with Danzig, pretending to be married to Danzig and imagining how shit that would be. So, you know, a good old eclectic mix of bullshit.
Oh, man. I love bullshit. Creative bullshit is the best.
Yeah. You know, I said, like, not lyrically, but the pandemic, the main thing is that Susie was writing in the pandemic. And when she was writing, because she didn't have a band, she was making almost like trip hop beats. And that's one of the things that I think influenced some of the like softer side of the music, because it was like the music was almost not big heavy band, because Susie was just like triggering a beat and making like rap songs and sending me go.
She was sending us rap songs at one point.
Well, what do you think of this? We're like, wow,
they were incredible.
I showed on the last day. At the very end, we're like, we've wrapped the recording. And we're like, hey, Sonny, do you want to hear the original Jimmy? He's like, I'd love to. And we played it for him. And he's like, wow. Like, yeah, dude. Susie's not, we're not quite there yet where we can share it with the world. But I hope one day we can.
Remix.
The remix, original B-sides, everything will go into the premium package.
It's pretty amazing. It's definitely.
We're looking for trap producers right now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, you should.
Let's go do this.
I wouldn't expect that.
Exactly.
Well, now I have to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that works.
Oh, hey, here we go. Now you mentioned it. So, I mean, last interview, we talked about the famous Slayer arm dude. Mm-hmm. So I remember, like, you had it on the record that, let's find the dude, whatever. It will be connected to the album, and then I sent you the context, and that's it. I don't know what happened in between, and then the album comes out.
You found that guy so fast. I thought it was going to take like at least a couple of weeks. It wasn't even 48 hours when that guy contacted us.
Yeah, I think it was the next day. I was like, oh man, I have a chance to make it happen.
I think to like you, we said, I mean, we were drunk. We said if you find Slayer Arm,
yes,
name the next album after him, Slayer Arm, and you did. And his name is Martin, as you know.
As everyone should know now.
Yeah.
Now everybody should know now. Yeah.
But even when his name was Martin, we were still like, well, the album's called Slayer Arm, though, right?
It was Slayer Arm for such a long time.
The cold name Slayer Arm.
That's
yeah.
For me.
Like, we were writing songs, and we're like, oh, we're going to go to the studio and write Slayer Arm. It's really odd.
I have folders of Slayer Arm demo saved on my computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it was. Like, Jordan came into the studio one day and was like, I mean, because we weren't sure if we're going to continue the animal theme.
I was not going to continue with animal names.
Jordan always chooses the animal. Jordan was like, we are not doing this. And we're like, Jordan says it's happening. Then he came in and was like, well, there is this animal that's a Martin that's kind of cool.
So after we found out the dude's name was Martin, I was like, I used to work at a taxidermy store, so I know a lot about mammals and animals in general. So I knew that a pine marten was a thing, but I went home and I did one of those online, like Harry Potter, what's your Patronus? And I shit you not, it came up pine marten. And it was the same day, the same exact day. I saved it on my, I'll send you a picture.
Dude, it's a sign. Okay.
Gotta be this.
So yeah, just... you gotta be this. Yeah. Holy shit. It happened. Yeah, it happened.
We named it after Martin.
I blame Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. We blame everybody Harry Potter. Yes. So, okay. So the animal is Martin, right? Plus Troy Arm, the dude, is Martin.
Yes. Dr. Martin as well. His name's...
He's a doctor,
so he's Dr. Martin, which I was like, that's amazing.
I don't know. I just found the name, the guy, and sent it to you. I have no idea what happened, to who he is at all, nothing, you know?
We've been having a great time.
Yeah. there's going to be, you see that, like, one of the, anyway, we have a picture of his tattoo in the photo album book. You know, there's like a book.
I knew you would do this. Yes.
Thank yeah. Well, yeah. He's on the.
Everyone back. Gets their Slayer arm.
Yeah, he gets his. He's on the back page. We were like, please, can you send us a photograph? The original. So actually, you wouldn't know this. So the original tattoo, the one that we all remember, he's got covered.
Ooh.
He covered the tattoo. I think because I don't know if he was embarrassed by it or what. But
it shouldn't be. It was gorgeous.
It was amazing. So anyway, he now has an even bigger Slayer tattoo
on the other arm.
So it's even bigger Slayer arm. So we now have a photograph of the bigger tattoo, which is
oh great. Right. But I think I remember when I was just remembered, like when I was looking for the guy, I was excited. Okay, there's a dude with the Slayer arm tattoo somewhere, and somebody was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, it's Martin. Yeah, yeah, just a second." Yeah.
So.
We just got a Facebook message. Like, I heard you're looking for me.
Yes.
So, like, me and Susie talked to JJ with the Yobelis last week, who was asking about the record. And he was like, am I the first interviewer? We're like, yes. And he was like, all right, what is Martin? Like, just tell me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, Jordan's not here. We need Jordan for the story. But what was amazing is, as I was explaining it, I was like, huh, every time anyone's ever asked us about, like, why donkey? What donkey had a moral story? But, like, why rooster? Why rabbit? It's always like, Jordan picks it. And, like, it is what it is. Whereas this one, like, wow, that's a full-on backstory.
Yeah.
It's kind of epic.
That's why, like, your...
the most interesting
interview with you on many levels was iconic for me because, well, first of all, I felt really good that I found the guy. I was like, it's like, I was not expecting that. Secondly, interviewing you on many levels, it was an experience for me because I learned so much from that interview, how I do interviews, how people are in general, just everything, right? Like, I refer to your interview all the time because it was so, for me, important. It's one of the best interviews I've ever had.
Oh, thank you.
One of the interviews that I always try to have because it had an impact on your creative thing, right? There's a story. There's a lot of stuff happened. We found the guy. We found the guy, man.
We went on a journey.
We found the fucking guy. We named a record together.
That's so fucking awesome.
You are on this record. You named our record. Without you, we would not have named this record mine.
No, not at all.
And would not have this story, which is like, that's amazing.
That's great. Thank you very much from behalf of Martin and everybody else, music fans.
We should have had Martin join this interview.
Yeah, get on the phone.
Next time. We'll do another.
We'll do another one.
We'll have to do it from the band room.
All right, so yeah, I was when you posted first pictures of the album, I was like, okay, there's a photo book. I was like, hey, I know the guys now. Like, they're definitely gonna put either an Easter egg somewhere or they're gonna put the photo somewhere. Because I was like, in the beginning, I was like, maybe the animal in like behind the fur, like it's, there's like a tattoo of Slayer arm tattoo on
that was discussed.
But we were trying to think of artwork. It was like, The mind needs Slayer on its arm. You're like, this has to happen.
We're going
to
shave it.
There's a... I mean, who knows? You know, we haven't designed merch yet. So, I mean, jury's fucking out.
Plenty of time.
Slayer merch that would bring logos on it. But yes, no, there was lots of ideas like that discussed.
All right. So, so what's in this photo book? It's like photos what about, okay, about the chair? Is there like some symbolism regarding the chair, the red colors? Or you just like last time, you know, like there's a bunny we found, we like it, fine, done.
The chairs, just those are the chairs in Susie's house.
It's
I knew it.
that's a picture of Susie's house with Martin in a chair. <That's it. laughs> Those are Susie's curtains. That's Susie's chair. Yeah, she has two of them.
That was some random Monday.
And then we bought the mine. I found the mine on like Etsy and yeah, and it was like, this is gonna be a great, because we were like, need a picture of the mine. I was like, how can we make it kind of still goth and metal? And then Jordan, while we were recording, we went out for drinks afterwards. Jordan's like, well, the album's red. We were like, cool, we have to make it red. And then we're like, Susie's living room's red. Let's just do that. Done.
It's a proof that you are all talented artists, because even like without like half caring, you come out with like a super awesome album cover. There's a great story, you know, everything is there, you know, like it's like, I don't want to say half-assed, but you know, like some people like spend like months, how
thank you.
But like people spend like years like thinking about it, and you're like, okay, we have like a chair and stuff, and it looks iconic already, you know, like it's so awesome.
You don't have to look too far to do cool shit. It's right there. You just need to look at it with a different set of eyes.
Yeah.
That's a quote. I'm keeping it for future creative stuff.
PM. Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, like we bought the, you can see them in the background. I'll bring them down.
Yeah. And for that, because recording audio, I will explain. It's the animal from the album cover. Similar, right? It's not this one or this one.
It's the exact same one.
This is the exact same one.
Oh, fucking mean motherfucker.
Yeah. Look at it.
Scary.
Look at
scary.
Him.
Scary.
Yeah, he's gnarly.
He's a good size, too.
Look at this tail. It's beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Nice piece.
Anyway, so he's been removed from the log so that he could sit in the chair. Because I was adamant that he didn't like look like taxidermy. He wanted to look like and act like a wild animal on a chair in Susie's living room. So I had to attach him.
All right. There's a concept. All right.
Kinda.
He came mounted to a log, and the log didn't look great.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the log is additional color. It breaks the pattern and it distracts from the Martin, because Martin is a little bit brownish and there is like a black chair and red curtains. So kind of not working out.
Well, and also like taxidermy felt like a heavy metal trope. And so it was like, how do we make it not look like taxidermy, more like a wild animal?
All right. Okay. Now I see. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Why do you always choose animals?
I don't know. So the first record, we didn't have a band name, so we were calling it Donkey for the longest time. And then when we ended up on Broom, I was like, let's call the album Donkey, and that's how that one happened. What one came next? Rooster? I don't remember where Rooster or Rabbits came from. I don't remember where Rooster came from, but wherever that inspiration came from, I wrote down a list. It was like, oh, well, the next one's Rooster, and the one after that is Rabbits. I already knew that those were the next two, but I could not tell you why. I had a reason at the time. I do not remember what that reason is now.
There was a moment in time where I remember of the list, Jordan had mentioned the next one was going
to
be...
I wanted Taurus for the next one. I was moving to Constellations.
The pandemic hit. Jordan's like, fuck animals. And we're like, okay, there we go. It's done.
I was over animals long before that. I refer to the first three as the Barnyard series, and I've moved on.
Animal Farm. Barnyard. But now we have Martin. It's a combination of everything.
I mean, if his name was Frank, I don't know what we would have done. A hot dog.
Oh, God. Oh, God. See, now, like, every album's just named after people that happen to have influenced the album, but somehow it's related to an animal. And that's the new theme.
Yeah, can only meet people with animal names from now on.
Yeah.
It's hard for me as a task to find you a person with that name somewhere with a cool story.
You've done your job. You're good.
Yeah.
Rest on your laurels.
Oh yeah, I'm yeah. It's time for me to do a sway arm tattoo on myself also.
don't make me say something dumb right
now. No. I'm not saying no. I'm not promising. I don't want
to. No, I don't even know that's gonna come at some point. It's bad to happen.
All right. So okay. So you recorded it. The album is coming out. So this is your plan, right? It's slowly will come out. You will do a tour. How was like gigging in the last year, 2 years? Did you do any tours or anything, or just mainly like writing stuff?
Done a couple of one-off shows, and that's been about it. We played with like Yob like immediately after we recorded, and I think that was the last big show we did.
Yeah,
and we just played a couple weeks ago, like a little local at our local dive bar thing.
And local dive bar, really, just to start testing some of this stuff out live because we haven't.
Yeah, we never played these songs live.
And how was it?
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Kilowatt's awesome.
Yeah, it was like a little dive bar in the Mission in San Francisco. I mean, it was fun to try some new stuff. It was a good reaction. It was a Friday night. People were having a good time. So
good crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked.
Lineup was fun. We're
playing Desert Fest in London.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Because you announced the Desert Fest right when you released the single, I think, something like this, right?
Yeah. Yep. So we got that. I don't know if we're the kind of like big touring band, as in
we're very lazy.
Well, you are big tour. You're a big touring band in respect of your stories, right? So it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality of your tour.
On paper, refresh everyone.
You have so many, like I was listening to the interview today, the one that we did, and you were like spitting out stories from your tours, you know, hanging out Matt Pike, getting tattoos of Belgian police tattoos, and...
Yeah.
Getting stabbed by policemen, you know, like this is like the legit awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're reckless assholes.
who play three shows a year?
Yeah, but you do it with style, you know. Not many people can have such stories, you know. They don't have it.
They have concerns. Yeah. They've self-preservation.
Self-preservation. Yeah, right. It's overrated. Are you also recording some music videos for the promotion of the second single? How many singles are going to be? Three, probably.
Three singles. We released a single with Jimmy. The second one isn't going to have one. There's a potential for a third where we're going to be shooting something on Monday. I've talked to Jordan after this after this interview about what's happening on Monday because we're shooting something. It may be a whole video, it may be a little kind of Instagram clip. We'll see. Who knows?
Is there also like a theme or you don't know anything?
It's definitely a theme.
The theme is broom.
Yeah, the theme is broom and
which, heavy. Which can be anything.
Yeah, well, we're not going to give anything away at this time. Because it may be terrible and then we won't do it. We'll just see how it turns out. But we're gonna choose something on Monday. And we're going to see how it shows up. So that'll be the third single, which is How Rude. I mean, I was going to ask you, do you watch music videos?
Well, I make music videos. At least I used to do music videos. Like I was doing animation, as I think Jordan is making motion design, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I do.
Sweet.
And when we were doing the interview 2 years ago, I was self-employed. And 1 year ago, I became... not self-employed, just a day job, like doing motion design stuff. So, but right. Before that, music videos, full on, yes.
Right. Do you enjoy, like, do you watch them? Do you enjoy them? Is it like, because I think there's like I know why labels and people expect music videos. But the thing I'm actually more interested in, like, do people, like, I love them, but I think I love some, I'm very particular about the ones that I like. And to be honest, a lot of them was like, I don't know if I need to see a band pretend to play music in a music video. You know what I mean? I appreciate the art of it. And so then...
I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
I need to see the band play. I don't pay attention to bands that much these days. I don't really know what they look like. So I'd like to see what you look like.
Who are you?
Yeah. And if you want to pretend to play some instruments, it's okay. If you have a cool video, that's cool. If it's not, I'll probably still watch it. I'm of the MTV video generation, so I just want to watch videos. You know, I don't really care if they're good or bad. I just content to look at and half decent songs to listen to.
Like these days, I'm not watching music videos like at all because I don't know. That's not how I discover music anymore. Maybe I had too much because back I was watching new music, like researching, looking for good stuff all the time, finding creating people. There were a lot of good stuff, right? But now when I'm just like a regular person, kind of, right? Not interested, and don't have time, honestly, you know, to sit and look at it, right?
If
it's like in the background, it works. But that's me. Maybe I had it too much.
I definitely like them. I think it's a fun way to consume music, especially if it adds, it's fucking great.
Then
it's like, oh man, I'm being assaulted more than just my ears. This is perfect. So
because I was making animated music video, so it was full on animation music. So for me, music videos were short stories mainly. That's the most important thing for me, right? Of course, I like band videos. But if it's there's a story that's intertwined with the performance, even like basic one, if you remember Metallica Whiskey in a Jar, they're playing in a house, right? And there's like stuff, but there's some cool visual elements and it's just vibes good, right?
Yeah. So my day job is I'm a graphic designer or branding dude. What's fun is I get to work on Broom Records. Like it's more art projects for me. So I get to work on design stuff. But we actually so the company I have is called General. We're like a branding design company. And so my partner who lives in LA was pitching me this idea to shoot the video of Susie for Jimmy, because he was I think it'd be really cool with this new, more intimate feeling direction to go super intimate in a video. So we had this idea of just being Susie, because we just wanted basically a face. We were that would be such a cool video. And that song in particular, it's a lot of lyrics versus instrumentation. So it's kind of perfect.
Yeah, I think it really works good with that song and how you deliver, how the video looks because it's really intimate and she sings intimate stuff, right? So it totally adds together, as if she sings to you. So I think it totally works how you intended it to be.
She's brave as well. Those.
So I guess now it's your turn to be in front of the camera.
We'll see. I don't know.
Pass.
Susie was asking about us performing on Monday for this as part of this. Again, you're seeing live. We're not telling you what it is.
Nice.
And I say performing as in us partaking as potential Easter eggs.
Oh,
anyway,
I have questions.
Yeah, I get it. I was like, I'll talk to Jordan.
I mean, I'll do it, maybe.
Yeah, if that's what.
Well, okay, what about Jackie? Is she going to be there also?
Of course.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting close. I start to understand what you're trying to do.
You know.
You're done, right? Yeah, I don't.
You still don't know either.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole idea. I'm trying to figure it out, and you say no. At least I'm gonna be like ChatGPT. I'm gonna say the most boring stuff, right? And it's like no, definitely not that.
So you know what you're doing now. You're like, I'll do the most boring stuff. I'm like, right, we'll definitely do that.
Yeah, lay up.
What else have you been listening to?
Ooh.
Yeah, what are we missing?
Yeah, who should we go?
What do I need to go check out?
Well, I started to listen to a lot of country music, actually.
Nice.
Cool.
Surprisingly, right? Don't know me, right? But for me, it's like...
But I guess for us, that's not surprising because I don't
I listen to everything, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We could tell you all what we've been listening to inspired this record, and it's not what anyone would think people would listen to in this genre.
Yeah, it's the country music is I discovered it. I think it's not only me, but it's an overall feel, somehow something in the air, and country is something that people want to hear. It's mm-hmm. I have this a little bit of feeling that it's really instrumental, really honest. There's a vibe to it that's really appealing to me. And
is there any particular artist or type?
Let me check on my not Spotify.
I can tell you while you're doing that that during the pandemic, one of the people that I heard that I just fell in love with was Colter Wall. A guy called Colter was like a really young guy who's got like this like crazy deep voice. He's like a 20-year-old who sounds like an 80-year-old. Who's incredible.
Let me find. Because I'm listening music on Tidal, and they had like a cool playlist that they curate, which is Gothic Americana.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Share that.
Yeah, and I remember. So I think I got introduced to the new country through Hank Third.
Nice.
Right. He's a combination of country and what cow punk whatever thing is, right? And because of that, it introduced me to other bands like my favorite musician of 2023. Maybe it's not really country, but what's her name? Where's she? Grace Cummings.
I'm bad with names.
Grace Cummings is my discovery of 2023, and she's on tour with King Gizzard and Lizard Wizard. She will be coming here in a couple of months. Maybe I'll get an interview with her and maybe King Gizzard. Who knows? But it doesn't matter. The music is amazing. She has a voice that's ASMR for me. So she has like this deeper. She sings in a deeper voice, which is like totally my stuff, right? So
yeah,
I'm that's it. I'm done. That's my favorite musician of 2023.
You remind me. I was talking earlier about like that new sad AU and like weird influences, but like the weekend that Sonny was with us and we were like trying different things. Angel Olsen had just released released that EP, and that song, this was like that jazz song that has like a piano intro and a sax solo, and that's actually the song that was like, can we just make this song like that, where it's like instruments have their space, like a jazz record where you have the solo, or like no one's soloing, but it's just like this space for like they're gonna get their part. But yeah, totally, like that kind of thing is way up our street. I mean, we have our band has very eclectic taste. Jackie is the most metal person in our band, 100%.
Yeah, Jordan, like traditional metal.
Yeah. What was the band, the Japanese band you were showing me on K?
I'm really into Chai right now, the Japanese like pop girl band.
Ooh, I know the name, yes.
It's been around for a minute. I'm super into this band from LA called Zulu. That's awesome, like a hardcore band.
All right.
And there's these dudes from Sacramento that I saw that played at Winters called Intruder that I really like. They're these young ass kids that just absolutely shred. That's what I'm into right now.
And I'm listening to Idols from Bristol in England, and The Smiles' new record, because I love Radiohead and it's fucking incredible.
Oh, yes, The Smiles, the Radiohead people, right.
Yeah.
Oh, and also another name, Gillian Welch, that I'm listening to.
I know her.
Oh, The Veeve. The Veeve is a British band, the guitar player from The Blur.
Yeah,
and he plays sax there.
That's cool.
And I realized that once I was at the gig and somebody was playing some kind of a free jazz kind of, and... it kind of hit my brain in such ways that the guy was playing sax and it was like cleaning my brain in a way, you know, just like the vibration was going all around me. And I was just like, felt so good, like ecstatic, you know, and I just realized maybe I just like sax maybe or fridge. I don't know.
It's okay to like saxophone.
I mean, you know, you were asking earlier, is there like a theme or a concept to this record? And the one that we're touching on now, that we kind of touched on earlier, was definitely just like, I think you, like many others, have more interest than the heavy metal paint by numbers thing. Like, I love heavy music, I love rock music, I love metal, but it can feel a bit boring. And like, that's wrong. There are many people doing many interesting things. And the thing that we wanted to do was like, well, you know, I think you mentioned last time, like, oh, you didn't strike me as people that were going to be like that because you're in a doom band. We're like, yeah, but what does that even mean? And I think that's the point. So anyway, point is that I think trying to write some music is like, what do you like? What do you want to do? And like, where are the boundaries of what you think it should sound like? It'd be like, fuck those. What do you want to make? Like, what are
Exactly,
we
yeah.
trying to do with this record, with working with Sonny, with us pushing our songs and trying different things? It was like, it doesn't have to sound a certain way, and it's probably going to be more interesting because of it. Because most people don't have one taste of one kind of style.
And I'll, like since the last interview, our interview, because it was episode 7, and now this is episode 52, and I
Nice.
have more experience with like talking to musicians, you know. You just have to really look inside of yourself and try to express what you feel and what you really like truly, which is really hard to first find it inside of yourself and then have the courage to express it toward the world, because everybody can throw stones at basically your soul, and it's not easy. I mean, you can play pretend, of course, yes, but the true. It comes from inside.
You also can't make music for someone else. You kind of have to, as in, you can't try and please other people. Like, be like, you shouldn't be trying to make something because you want to be a part of something. And like, what do you want to make? What do you like? And figuring that out is hard, but it's like, that's what it should be.
Yeah, once you find it, that's you now. You gotta make that your armor, you know? Let everyone see it. Don't put it away and hide it. You know what you're doing, you know what you like, go for it. Grab it by the throat.
Yeah, and it seems like from what you said, like Sonny was trying to help you find it, right?
He was pushing us to see what the boundaries of what we think our band could and should be, which was great.
Did a lot of qu questioning.
It's like a therapy. It's like a therapy session.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's talk about our feelings and what do we want to express. Everybody has face
Yeah.
safe space.
Well, we were a band that had an identity, and then we had a new player join the band, and it's like, well, then that throws everything in the air. I'm like, well, we still sound like us, but we're like, but we should be probably different because we have a new person. It's now one whole extra person of different ideas and a different sound, and it's like, well, where are we going to go? It's kind of, it was very fun.
How was it for Jackie? Have you noticed anything like I mean, you knew her before, right?
Yeah.
We knew her. We
A
knew
couple
her
years off and
from her
on.
band, that you know,
Grace Young.
from Grace Young, that we played with a couple of times. I think that it was funny. Like I remember personally maybe feeling like bad that Jackie had joined a band because she was excited by like doom music, because Grace Young's like full on fast, thrashy, screamy music. So she was excited to play with a band that were like slow and heavy. And then a big push from this, like us writing and doing all this stuff, was like, actually, we're like, we're gonna downplay some of the heavy. So I remember there was a the one of the main riffs that she like early on came to us with was a song called Faux Savior. And she had this idea that was all like, oh, it's gonna be like this, and you'll tell from the riff, it's like this big, slow, heavy doom song. And when I heard it, I was like, oh, it's like a country riff. I'm gonna play this like a country song. I don't think she was like, oh, I wasn't thinking that. I was like, no, I know. And that's kind of where like most of the song went. It got a little bit of doom in there, but anyway, so I think she's digging it. I think it's fun to play with Jackie. She's a very serious musician.
She's made us all way better.
Did you already have like some stories that you had like during the recording? Like you know, you have like really cool stories, right? Like touring stories. Did you already have like some stories with Jackie already? Like some getting into trouble, not trouble, doing tattoos together. I mean, you're a crazy
Oh,
band,
we have
so
tattoos.
every
That is happening. We are getting tattoos.
Me, Jordan, and Jackie have planned a very cool tattoo together because we were drunk at New York Desert Fest, and it was the first time like me and Jordan and Jackie, like Susie had to go run, she was going to another festival, so we had like a
Get
day
an
of
extra
like
day at the fence.
real drunk, got to hang out, and we planned a very cool tattoo.
We almost got
Yeah, we
hot
also
dogs.
pulled up hot dog tattoos, but instead we expressed our love of Guns N' Roses, and so the three of us are gonna get rattlesnake suitcases under our arms.
All right.
To discount Stab Shack.
We're gonna go see Discount Stab Shack in Portland, Oregon. We're gonna get asked the brief is I need a rattlesnake suitcase, and I need it to be
Under my
under
arm.
my arm.
Oh my God, that's
That's a Night
amazing.
Train reference. We're deep.
All your stories are amazing. I don't want to bother you too much, you know, like, that's...
Can I have a beer, left?
Yeah, you're good. I got we're just chilling. It's Saturday.
Yeah, it's Saturday here great also.
I'm good to go.
What's starting?
I work in baseball, so today is we have a game today.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Jordan's like the dude who runs all the graphics for the Giants. It's like a big baseball
player. Yes, you won the award.
I did win an award.
It was it Emmy? No, what was it?
It was a regional Emmy, yes.
Yeah, Emmy. I checked it out because I follow you guys. Like, because I was keeping an eye on if you're gonna stay, if you're gonna do something with the guy, with the Martin.
Yeah.
I was paying attention.
We do not lie.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
There was a commitment on that last podcast.
That was a commitment.
We met some resistance too. We're like, this is happening. Yeah, we said yes.
Yeah. We're like, hey, Jackie, you just joined the band. We have already named the album. You don't have
a choice in this now.
It's the way it is. We agreed to it. You can't say no.
It kind of made things easier. It was just like, well, it has to be this, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, it's you're one of the few bands. As I said, like I interviewed like 60, 70 bands, right? And each time I tried to recreate what our common experience that I had with you, dear Broom Band. But I realized after maybe 10 episodes later that, oh my God, that it was something special and magical because never happened again.
You mean you haven't named other bands' albums?
Yeah, you're not trying.
No. Yeah, I tried to push it. I tried to refer it, like, hey, look at the Broom Band. They're doing the thing, and everybody's like, nah, nah. Yeah,
they sound like idiots.
Yeah. Why would anybody do that? Why? No.
Why would a band go on a podcast and agree to name an album after someone they don't
know? No.
Like, because it sounds like a great idea.
Everybody were like, oh. Because I was like explaining the story without knowing the results, but everybody's like, oh yeah, that's cool, okay, okay, that's cool. Like they were looking at me like you were like people looking at you like also same thing. I was sharing the awkwardness of the story.
Nice. Anyone that I've expressed the story to, they're like, wow, that's a story. And I'm like, yeah,
that's how we do it. Yeah, that's how we do things over here.
Well, people know you, like, okay, like around you, but in my case, I was like, yeah, there was a band, and then we found the guy, and they said they're gonna do it. It's like, okay.
they did it.
And now I will tell everybody, and they did it.
Yeah.
So no, okay, now like everybody's like, okay, we should do something like that.
Yeah.
You showed them.
Live shows. Have you been to many live shows recently?
Live shows. Well, usually I do my interviews live, so I do it before or after the gig at the venue.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I do it online with you because you're not here. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you were here, I would do the interview. But with you, I can do a longer interview. When I do the shorter interviews, it's like 15, 20 minutes, and
yeah,
it's not the same. You can't talk about life and anything.
Sorry to interrupt, but like next time we come to Austria, what we should do is hang out with you and mine and go get margaritas.
Dude, like all day.
Yeah.
All day. And then we make a recording of the podcast. Like completely waste.
You want to not remember it.
And then we'll play the show.
And see how much we commit to not remembering.
Yeah, but live gigs, I can tell you about the sound quality of some live gigs. I interviewed Off, which is, you know, Off Band?
Yeah.
What's the guy's name? Original Black Flag guy. Forgot. Anyways, they played and the sound was so horrible that people were walking out. It was first time experience for me to see. And we walked out also, but we're like, okay, I interviewed the guys. Sound is bad. Fine. But then other people were walking out. It was horrible. So,
what do you think was the reason for the bad sound? bad sound guy, or the band was too loud.
Something with guy not understanding the room, the space.
Yeah.
Because probably they did the sound check and it was one thing without the people, without the meat, and then the meat came in, and then
sound checks tend to be a waste of time.
Such a waste of time.
Unfortunately. As much as I'd love to sound check and feel like that's what it's gonna sound like, it has never sounded like that. And so we tend to not sound check.
We're very cavalier about our shows.
Because it's just like, what's the fucking point? You know it's gonna sound bad, so you may as well just not worry. Yeah. Every time you think the sound is bad on stage, it generally means it's gonna sound great to people. And anytime we think, oh, that sounded great on stage, the bummer is that you know it
doesn't sound good in the audience.
Yeah.
That's what I also noticed, because usually when I do interviews, I'm right there during the sound check, because I do the interviews after the sound check, right?
Yeah.
And I can see that everybody's doing the sound check, everything's cool. But then during the gig, I'm standing next to the sound guy, and I can see that he's like doing with the faders, like shuffling with the cards, like really like trying to figure it out. And I don't know. Actually, I don't know what kind of skills do you need to do it properly, like with people inside. I mean, that's next level stuff.
Experience, probably, like knowing that it's going to change the sound and kind of figuring out how you're going to change it when you get there. But yeah, I don't know.
Good sound guy is worth his weight in gold.
But regarding the live shows, and interview highlights for me were the Melvins,
nice.
The Clutch.
Nice.
That's if you know the band Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Interviewed the guy also, you know. So this is like three, and you also. Like, these are the core interviews for me. No. But you should understand, like you, like the story with you is so important to the whole thing. It's unbelievable.
Our idiocy is very important.
Yeah, idiocy runs deep.
This is so freaking iconic. Now it's going to your Wikipedia page.
I love it.
Nice.
Thank you.
We don't have a Wikipedia page, by the way. I've tried to make one twice and it keeps getting shut down. You can't make your own, apparently.
Someone has to write it. Well, maybe you can ask.
Yeah, put it out there in the world. Make us a Wikipedia page and tag me.
Yeah, if you have enough references to other publications like this podcast, then you can get a Wikipedia page. Because I tried to create one for myself also.
Dude, they shut you down fast.
They shut you down fast.
They know.
It's so boring of them.
They just don't understand the importance of Martin. Anyways, guys, I don't want to bother you too much. It's quite late here.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for this interview. So I guess usually I ask which kind of song should I put your song at the end of the interview to a good introduction to your band. But obviously, it's Jimmy, right?
Let's pick Jimmy.
Let's pick Jimmy, right?
I think you should go with Jimmy, actually. Yeah.
You know what? You might consider Jimmy.
Oh.
Hopefully to see you live when you're here on tour, European tour, soonish.
We're working on dates right now.
Working on dates. I don't know if Austria is in the mix, but it's
top of mind.
Because of how important that place is to us, obviously, as you know.
It doesn't have to be like Vienna. It can be like a western part also.
Where are you?
I'm in Vienna at the moment.
Vienna was great.
That was awesome.
We had, I think we said last time, we had a few days of just hanging out. And
it's great. Austria was amazing.
Went to a museum with butterflies. It was beautiful.
We're waiting for you then.
All right, we'll figure it out. We're bad.
All right, guys. Jamie Jordan, thank you very much. It was a pleasure as usual.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, sir.